We've told you a lot lately about the country of Myanmar, also known as Burma. We're going to tell you now a story out of Burma you probably haven't heard before, and honestly, you probably wouldn't believe it if you had. It's the story of an African-American soldier stationed there during World War II. The soldier, named Herman Perry, killed an officer, and then he fled. It was a massive U.S. Army manhunt, but he narrowly escaped and survived over and over again from police, monsoons, disease, deadly animals in the thick Burmese jungle. Another hazard of the jungle was the wrath of the lawless headhunting tribes there. But they actually came to love Perry, adopted him, sort of. The soldier on the lam known by many as the Jungle King. He even married the chief's teen daughter. As I said, really hard to believe. The story is told in the new nonfiction book, Now the Hell Will Start, by Brendan Kerner. Kerner is also a Wired magazine contributing editor and columnist for Slate and Gizmodo. Brendan joins me now in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about this character, about this man, Herman Perry. The book starts out describing the situation when Perry kills a lieutenant, his commanding officer. He runs, and hence that massive manhunt. Mm-hmm. Explain what you were able to find out through your research about his motives for that killing.
One of the great underreported stories of that theater of the war is the fact that there were a lot of African-American soldiers sent out there to work as laborers. And this Lido Road Project, which was this road stretching from northeast India across northern Burma to the Chinese border, was largely built by black soldiers.
And this is what Herman Perry was there doing.
Exactly,
working on this road.
Yeah. And the conditions were really horrific. The jungle in particular along the Indo-Burmese border and the Patkai Mountains was very harsh. You had very high malaria rates. You had a lot of soldiers dying from disease, from accidents, leeches, ants, all sorts of jungle horrors you could imagine. And that really contributed to his fraying psyche. The other aspect of it was just the segregation and the Jim Crow realities of the army at the time. So that, and the last component was Perry's admitted use of drugs. To paper over the misery of jungle life, a lot of these GIs did use drugs, predominantly marijuana. Perry also used opium. And in fact, the day that he committed the murder, he actually was coming down from an all-night opium bender.
He was a particularly interesting character. I mean, to have survived through what he survived is really amazing. He ran into the jungle and he meets these headhunting tribesmen called the Nagas, right? Tell us a little bit about who these people are. You ended up doing quite a bit of research on this tribe.
Basically, the Burmese left them alone. There was a dynasty, a Hindu dynasty of Burmese who ruled Assam, India, for many years. And they kind of left the Nagas alone because, frankly, they were scared of them because they hunted heads.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's scary. They were said to be lycanthropists. They were said to change into were-leopards and werewolves during the full moon.
Shapeshifters.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they also lived in this territory that actually is not very viable. It's very hard to live there. It's full of tigers and malaria, not a lot of good things going on up there. So people generally left them alone.
They themselves were this elusive people, but Herman Perry was able to garner their trust, become one of them even.
Yeah, and it's funny. I tracked down Perry's lone surviving sibling. And she said something very interesting to me. I was trying to get a sense of his character. She said that he was really a really charming guy, and that's what he was known for. He was very gregarious and charming, and he was emotionally fragile in some ways, which obviously made him unable to endure the hardships of military life there in the jungle. But I think that served him well in interpersonal relationships with the Nagas. And the other part of this, of course, is that he bribed them. He actually had some rations on him. So he did that, and he also, the other thing he had was he had an M1 rifle. The Nagas really didn't have firearms, so this was great. They would use it for monkey hunting and protection.
So he became a really powerful guy in the tribe.
He became a really powerful guy in the tribe, exactly.
And he even married the daughter of the tribal leader.
He married the 14-year-old daughter of the
chief. He was a ladies' man, too.
He was a ladies' man. In fact, he had back in D.C., and this is something else his sister told me as well, that he was very popular with the ladies.
You, in the course of researching this, you traveled to Burma. Right?
Yes.
You saw the Lido Road?
I literally walked the Lido Road from India over the Pangsau Pass into northwest Burma, into the tribal territories, which is a very seldom traversed area for Westerners.
How did that impact your writing in this book?
the thing that stuck with me was how much it looks today like it looks in the black and white photos from that time. The Americans abandoned the road quite literally. They started abandoning the road on VJ Day, on the day Japan surrendered. The order came down to just leave the bulldozers, you know, sell the scrap and get out of there. And by the next year, the jungle was already overgrowing large portions of the road.
So much money was put into this road.
Yeah.
And this is what Herman Perry was working on, along with all these other soldiers, literally expending blood, sweat, and tears on something that turned out to be a totally futile project.
Yeah, it's kind of the Sisyphean project that they would keep on building the road and the monsoons would wash it away and they'd build it back up again, it would wash it away. Ultimately, the road served no real purpose for the war effort.
As you point out, he wasn't the best kind of guy. He had a drug problem, he was a womanizer.
Yep.
How did your relationship with him change as you were writing this book?
At first, I was tempted to see Perry as kind of this superhuman character. The more I got to know him and the more I knew his faults and also just his basic humanity and the fact he's just a 21-year-old kid, basically, from D.C. who's all of a sudden plopped down in this completely alien world. And he lands, they put him on this ship, they don't tell him where he's going to be going. So I saw him more and more as someone that I could have known when I was 21 years old, I guess. A pretty decidedly ordinary guy, wrapped up in some absolutely bonkers circumstances. You know, I certainly lament the fact that there's no question he killed another young man who was unarmed. I don't think he did it because he was cold-blooded. I think he did it because he was having an emotional breakdown. This took place at a time when kind of psychiatric casualties.
No thing as PTSD.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it was a tragedy all around.
Why tell his story then? What value do we get from knowing Herman Perry?
I think one of the book's core themes, and I didn't really realize that until after I finished maybe the second draft, is that the consequences of irrationality, this whole drama could have been prevented if just people had stopped to think about what was going on with the road, with the way that the races treated each other at the time in this theater of the war, rampant irrationality kind of infecting the world's mindset, which caused this absolutely vile craziness and violent and sinister craziness that really caused so much death and destruction.
The book is called Now the Hell Will Start. It's by Brendan Koerner. It's a fascinating book about World War II, a theater that I personally hadn't heard a whole lot about what was going on in the Asian theater, and all these layers of stories, Herman Perry's personal story being at the core of that. Again, it's called Now the Hell Will Start. Brendan, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks a million for having me.